Speak, O Lord, your servant heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Well, what has this guy done that's so wrong that, in a sense, he's being punished? Why is he being punished? What does the text say? He's clearly done something wrong, right? We're talking about the parable now. Jesus, just to recap. To recap, Jesus is talking to a large group of people, and they're traveling with him as he's going from village to village and town to town. And it's a long trip from Jerusalem, from Nazareth and Galilee down to Jerusalem. And all along the way, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the events, the terrible events that will take place in Jerusalem. But now here we have, Luke has a lot of favorite themes out of Jesus' life. He takes things from Jesus' life, puts them together in a coherent story. And this one fits Luke to a T. It has to do with wealth and poverty, with riches and power. So it starts right off. He calls him teacher. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Now Jesus, I don't know if he hears this a lot. He probably does. After a while, he gets pretty tired of it. And clearly, he's on a trigger point. He's really quite annoyed. And he says, friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? You're clearly so greed-ridden that you wouldn't be able to hear anything I would say anyway. But the end of the story is what? It's pretty grim, right? The end of the story is, you fool. Everything that you had, you've built up, all of these things, that the barns can't even hold them. Well, you're not going to have access to any of it, because tonight is your last night. And then what will you do? What will you do when your life comes to an end? All these things that you've built up, and you've gained a lot of power and prestige. But that's not enough. What did he do wrong? He saved, right? I mean, we live in a capitalist society. I'm a capitalist. I'm not afraid to admit it, whatever that may mean. What could this guy have done differently that wouldn't end up getting him losing his life? He's rich. He's rich. So does this mean that because you're rich, you're going to get killed at the end of the story? Is this the gospel? Is this what the gospel means? That the rich are so automatically evil that they have to be done away with? Some people have actually, going through the last 2,000 years of history, there have been a number of people that have taken that position. They take Luke, the Jesus, and Luke tells us that we are to get rid of all of the powerful, the wealthy, and even in some cases and during the Reformation, even kill them. What has he done wrong? He's saved. Isn't that what we tell our kids to do? Save your money. Don't spend it all. When you have something, put something aside. No matter how small it is, put something aside, and you'll always have that there that you can call on. So he's done it. I have a financial advisor. It's a guy that throws craps in the... No. I used to have a financial advisor, and I swore I thought that's what he did with my money. But what? He's rich. What's the big deal? If it were the case that all the rich people had to be killed or done away with or hidden or exiled or sent to some outlying post of Israel, there would be an awful lot of important people that completely disappear. So he gets punished. If it were the case that all of these people, of all of the rich people in the Bible, would be punished, they would have to get rid of Abraham, Joseph, Lot, Jacob, David, Solomon, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Philemon, you want me to go on? Here are central people in the heart of the gospel story who are what? They are rich. And we don't know in most cases, we know in some cases, we don't know in most cases how they got their wealth. But we know they have it. And we know that they're not being punished for it. That they are being elevated. As a matter of fact, in this story, those who are rich are elevated by God. They are not punished by God. So what's going on here? Why does this man have to give up his life just because he's rich? If it were the case that being rich would get you killed, we would be in a lot of trouble. So there must be another reason. It can't be because he's rich. There must be another reason for being rich. It doesn't mean automatic punishment. What kind of world is he living in? What values does this man have? Notice that when he's speaking to himself, there is no one else more important than him. There is a profound emptiness in this man's life. He literally has to speak to himself. There's a powerful rendition of this having to speak to himself in a series of murals in Austin, Texas, where the artist attempts to depict Jesus in various aspects of Jesus' life. There's a profound emptiness in his life. He literally has to speak to himself. Did you notice that in the... Let's take a look. Listen to the rich man. He can't talk to anybody. All of the people that he knows won't have anything to do with him, so he has to talk to himself. He has to generate plans in his own head, and he can't even share them with anybody because nobody cares for the guy. This is what Jesus, in the parable of Jesus, the land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. You know the next line. But God said, you fool. He has no one to talk to. He's completely alone and isolated. There's this mural by James Jenkins, and it's a mural of Jesus confronting the rich man in the parable. If you look at the mural, you see in the painting, you see all of these people, they're poor. But they're all around this big table, and there's a little bit of food for everybody. But the thing that you notice, they're all happy. I mean, if you take a good look at them, you can only say, these people are having a party. They're having a great time. But then you go to the end of the table, and there is this solitary figure sitting all alone. He doesn't even look up. He looks down at his feet. He's utterly dejected. He has wealth, but his life is empty. He has riches, wealth, but there's nothing there for him. At his feet in the painting are people in great need, but his soul has robbed him of the ability to recognize human need. So here is the picture. There is people having this party, they're poor, they don't have much, but they have in fact found a way to care for one another even in the midst of hunger. And the rich man can't be a part of it. He's locked out. He's locked himself out. This party, look at the faces, and they're all very happy, even though they are in fact quite poor. He's not connected to any of the life going on around him. At his feet are people in great need, But he can't recognize human need at all anymore. His soul has been so given over to his property that he no longer has the ability to recognize human need. Wealth has taken over his life. Wealth has become his God. There's a deep sadness here. The man in the parable is the central figure in the story. He should be in charge. In the story, when Jesus tells parables, he puts a figure, a main figure in the story, and that the story revolves around him. Now here's the pattern. Jesus presents the story. But who's at the center of the story? It should be the rich man. But in fact, it's not. He should be in charge, but in fact, he's not in charge of anything. His wealth is. He is not the master of his wealth, but the slave of his wealth. The parable of Jesus turns everything upside down. The wealthy man is the slave, and all the power that comes from wealth is not given to the rich man. He does not recognize that his wealth is not simply the result of his own efforts. He looks upon his wealth, primarily crops, and thinks he made them grow. He looks at his crops in the barn that's bursting in the seams, and he is totally unaware of all the workers who had spent the last year working to make that farm prosperous. Did his workers have anything to do with his wealth? Not according to him. Did God have anything to do with his wealth? Not according to him. The deep sadness is not only his abject loneliness, and he can't even discuss his plans with anybody, but his cutting himself off from God. He has made himself an empty loner. The parable of Jesus calls the man a fool. Not because he saved his money for the future, but because he didn't give thanks to God and his workers. Everything had to do with I and me, as we read in the story. I and me, that's the most important thing to know in this story. Everything revolves not around the person, but around the wealth that is the person's power, pseudo-power. Behind the story is another. It's the story of Joseph in Egypt. Joseph had all the people in Egypt scrimp and save for 7 years in preparation for the famine he knew was coming. Joseph used his wealth to meet human need. He did not turn his back on the poor and destitute as this man does. Joseph made sure that even after a 7-year famine, no one would go hungry. Brothers and sisters, we have been given a warning. Something worse than a localized famine is coming. It is time to look at all those who will suffer and die and begin even now to prepare to meet the human needs of those who Jesus says are our neighbor. Amen.